Thank you very much. thank you also for inviting me here. Thank you to the organizers of Open Walls for asking me to speak about our work in Philadelphia. This is the second opportunity we've had to do that in Barcelona, and we are immensely grateful for the sense of collegiality we are building with our friends in Barcelona and around the world as we learn about programs in many, many other cities. We are extremely excited to learn about all the energy that we're finding and hope that we can continue this conversation in the coming years. So thank you. Today I'm here to introduce you to the City of Philadelphia's Mural Arts Program, which has transformed Philadelphia into a world-known city of murals through the creation of more than 3,000 murals throughout the city over the last 30 years. This is our 30th anniversary. The Mural Arts Program started in 1984 as a small component of the City of Philadelphia's anti-graffiti network. Today we're an organization with a staff of 50 people and a budget of $7 million a year. Today, we are partly an agency of city government. We are actually funded and part of the government of the City of Philadelphia, and we are also partly an independent nonprofit organization. Today, we have an ongoing portfolio of about 100 projects going on at any one time, including extensive programs for community-based art, youth education, at-risk populations. We also have a vigorous program of major civic projects. And this is our vision. This is what we think about every morning when we get up and go to work at Mural Arts. We believe in the power of art to ignite change in our city. Change in places, communities, individual lives, and in the very institutions of city government. We also are very conscious of trying to establish standards of excellence in the practice of public art and contemporary art. That's one reason why it's important for us to be here, so that we know how we measure against what is done in the rest of the world. We believe that our process empowers artists to be change agents. Artists can lead change in our city, stimulates dialogue among people about critical issues, and can build understanding. We work very closely with our partners and our participants, and we listen to them. And by collaborating with them, we provide people throughout the city with inspiration and tools they can use to shape their lives and their futures. Let me skip forward here. Whoops. As I said, over the past 30 years, Mural Arts has grown from a small anti-graffiti program to an art program within the city's parks department to a hybrid public-private program that it is now. And today I'd like to talk about some of our main activities: projects with communities and youth, environmental projects, major civic art projects. Hopefully, in talking about these projects, I can help you see how Mural Arts prospers through its unparalleled ability to let artists make their mark on the public realm and to help public agencies and civic organizations achieve their goals for improving the city. The heart of Mural Arts for most of its history has been its community murals program. When we started, we worked in places where the only visible city employees were the police, and where just getting by for most people was a daily struggle. And public art was not high on anyone's lists of what they needed. We began to meet with community leaders, with the leaders block by block through the city, people who were determined to resurrect the quality of life in the city. They listened to our ideas, joined with us, helped us uncover their stories that they and the community wanted to be heard. In some cases, we've seen mural projects contribute directly to solving problems. In the Grays Ferry neighborhood, the process of creating this mural called the Peace Wall played a role in reducing racial tensions in a neighborhood where the racial composition of the community was changing. Gradually, other neighborhoods across the city began requesting murals. We did our best to respond, matching private dollars to public funds. We told the stories of countless communities, from the Vietnamese immigrants. We told stories about African-American poetry. And we recruited volunteers from the neighborhoods to help paint murals on their blocks and their streets and to help transform environments. We found that we could have an effect on the surrounding neighborhood. We could paint a mural, and then a garden would be created nearby. The murals, which were disdained at first by many critics as poor people's art or not being very sophisticated artistically, nevertheless began to be accepted as part of the city's social and cultural fabric, and many have now become iconic parts of Philadelphia, like this mural, which is of a fellow named Dr. J, who is a basketball hero in Philadelphia. This is one of a series of four murals, one for each season of the year by David Gwynn, which one of the murals had to be taken away because a building was built on the parking lot next to the mural, and the people in the city were so unhappy, we had to find a new place to recreate the old mural so that the series would be complete. In recent years, we've worked hard to expand the vocabulary of painting in public space. This mural, also by David Gwynn, introduced us to the use of charcoal, and we now have artists who are working with charcoal as a permanent and a temporary media in their projects. Ben Volta's projects have explored the use of stencils and patterns. Shira Walensky's work combines woodcut motifs. She designs in woodcuts and then makes paintings of what she creates, and the aggressive use of color. So our goal is now to explore the intersection of muralism, public art, and contemporary art, and to explore the future of painting in public space and the co-production of work with communities and urban interventions in more media. As I said, the murals of Philadelphia began with graffiti writers who saw no place for themselves in the city's social structure. We made a place for them, a place of respect, and they began to see themselves in terms of their gifts, what they could offer to the city. Today, working with young people is still at the core of our work. Each year, we work with more than 2,000 children in after-school and summer programs, using the mural-making process to teach them not only about art, but about life and about job readiness skills. Kids are empowered when they lead the positive change in their communities. Here they're working with street artist Freddie Mack, learning about cutouts, collage, assemblage, wheat pasting, and then transforming blight and decay into beautiful community art. And they feel incredible accomplishment when they lead a process of re-energizing public spaces, like this library or this school, making them become beacons in the communities that they should be. Or transforming our city's transit system by coming up with designs of neural networks, brain networks, that were then turned into designs that now wrap some of our subway cars. Our art ed programs, again, emphasize fundamental skills in many artistic media, practical job readiness skills, and youth agency, enabling youth to believe that through their efforts, they can give voice to their ideas and their concerns, that they count, and that they can have an impact on the world. As in so many cities, issues of environmental quality, especially water, waste, open space, and now even food production, are increasingly important components of Philadelphia's agenda. Mural Arts has ongoing programs with several city agencies using our community-based art-making process to involve people in these issues and involve them in planning for the environmental systems of our city. Some of our projects are humorous, engaging, such as Stacy Levy's street mural that marked a historic wetland, which is where the water drained in this neighborhood before it was paved over. Or Miriam Singer's wheat pastes with historic and environmental imagery, which marked a path from the Fishtown neighborhood to the Delaware River, reconnecting people to this environmental asset. The core of our environmental program is called Restored Spaces. It's our approach to integrating the activity of city agencies, community organizations, and residents as we collectively transform schools, recreation centers, and commercial corridors into models for sustainable revitalization. To date, we've worked with more than 1,600 people at six different sites in the city, and we are collaborating with a range of stakeholders, schools, city agencies, open space organizations, and community development organizations. We begin by identifying a site in the city where there's momentum for improvements to systems like stormwater, open space, tree canopies, and as well as public art. And we form a committee of artists, our staff, representatives from the community, and city agencies to create a master plan that integrates these improvements. Then artists work with stakeholders to design and create the public artworks. The public artwork can involve the creation of outdoor classrooms. We're really proud of this project because it was exhibited in the Venice Architectural Biennale a few years ago. Wayfinding icons, mosaic work, murals, and even one mural that we made out of seeds and paper made from plants. And when the paper disintegrated and the seeds fell to the ground, they created a garden. All of this work interprets and expands upon the visions and efforts of participants and partners, connecting their actions to a larger understanding of the environment and the way natural forces shape and are shaped by the city's landscape. This project was done by an artist collective called We the Weeds. They only work with plant materials. I'm going to skip this section. In the past 5 years, Mural Arts has launched a number of large-scale civic projects that have expanded the scale and impact of our work farther than ever before, and I'd like to spend the rest of my time talking about a few of those projects. Steve Powers is a street artist who wrote graffiti for many years under the name of Espo. He came to us one day with a proposal to create a story along the walls of an elevated transit line in West Philadelphia, a project that eventually stretched about 2 miles and encompassed about 50 murals. The story he imagined was, what must a person on a train be thinking who's traveling home to the person and to the family they love? So each mural is a little muse, a little love note, a romantic journey through West Philadelphia. As he worked on these walls, people came and asked him, what are you doing? What are you up to here? And he encouraged them to add in their own messages and thoughts, which he translated into some of the murals. And the shop owners beneath the elevated train wondered, too, what are you doing here? And you can tell from his work that Steve loves the language of signs. So he set up a sign shop on the street below so that he could make signs for all the neighborhood businesses. The transit line has now been nicknamed the Love Train. And every year or so, the Mural Arts Program holds a contest, asking people to submit a story about their romance. The best story is picked, and that couple gets to be married on the train by the mayor of the city. Every February 14th, that happens on Valentine's Day. Emboldened by that project, we wondered what other civic gateways and corridors we could work with, and we decided, back a page. What other gateways we could work with? And we decided to do a project at the airport, the Philadelphia airport, on the garage of the facade of this parking garage, which is what greets people when they arrive in Philadelphia, and was largely regarded as a civic eyesore. After a national competition, we selected a photographer, J.J. Tizou, who proposed to make photographs of people dancing and turn them into images that would be painted on the facade of the garage. His approach was not just to photograph dancers, but anyone and everyone who wanted to come by his studio. He lived in Philadelphia and wanted to show off their moves, hence the name of the project, How Philly Moves. JJ's philosophy was, everybody's movement is beautiful, and so the project became a celebration of the city's soul. After extensive photo shoots, he selected 21 of the people to be featured on the wall. Many more are shown on an exhibition inside the airport. We organized a team of artists and technical team that translated the photographs into images that could be painted on the wall. And we opened a studio for 6 months in a shopping mall in downtown Philadelphia. Anyone could wander in and watch. And we held various community paint days where anyone could come in and help paint the mural. That's my daughter who helped paint the mural on the airport wall. And the painting was done on cloth, which was then glued to the facade of the building. So those are some of the studies. Altogether, the mural is 80,000 square feet, one of the largest in the world. It was entirely funded by the city, with support of the mayor, the airport director, the transportation department, and I'm amazed to say the labor unions allowed us to do this. And why? Because what better way to celebrate the creativity and energy of the city and to communicate it in one of the busiest transportation hubs of the region? And we had an awesome party when we were finished. We took over one whole deck of the parking garage and danced all night to a drum corps band, a traditional Philadelphia drum corps band. It's a good place to have a party, too. As we completed How Philly Moves, the city's Commerce Department, which is in charge of the economic viability of the city and the economic development, asked us if we could help them develop a strategy for revitalizing a neighborhood commercial corridor in Germantown Avenue in North Philadelphia. This is one of the most economically distressed areas of the city and one of the most economically distressed areas of the United States. The project would need to be transformative, both in terms of organizing the businesses along the block to work toward a common purpose, and in terms of creating a visual statement that would be nothing like Philadelphia had ever seen. As soon as we were asked to take on the challenge, we got in touch with two Dutch artists, Haas and Han, Jeroen Koolhaas and Dre Jurhan, to help us with the project. We knew that they were had been working in the favelas of Brazil, and were widely known for the work they'd done there, and we expected that their approaches to scale, to color, graphics, and their ability to work in neighborhoods like this, to organize people, would be important to the success of the project. Ultimately, they moved to Philadelphia for 18 months. During that time, one got married and the other had a baby, or his wife had a baby. Their challenge, and they lived a block away from the corridor where they were working. Their challenge was to develop a concept that would have visual coherence over the six blocks of buildings on both sides of the street and obtain the support of each and every merchant and each and every property owners, and with very few exceptions, they succeeded. One of Jeroen and Dre's goals, which made us happy to be working with them, was that they wanted to create local crews of local kids to be the painters for the project, to help them do the work. So under the guidance of Mural Arts staff and our artists and our own crews, they opened a studio on the street and organized teams of local youth and unemployed workers to work on the project as painters and tour guides. 2 years after the project's completion, we've expanded it a few times onto adjacent blocks, and it remains a source of pride, energy, and cohesion for the businesses and the broader community. If you come to Philadelphia now, you can see our latest civic project, which is called Psyche Lustro, by Berlin-based artist Katharina Grossa. For many years, we had wondered, could the main train line that connects Philadelphia to New York City, and which is lined with shuttered factories and abandoned lands that were vibrant decades ago when Philadelphia was a powerful industrial city, could that corridor now be a linear art gallery? Could we somehow turn this decaying landscape into a great gateway that would greet train riders as they passed by at 100 miles an hour? As we pondered this, one of our staff had been working with Katharina to develop an idea for a project in Philadelphia. They studied sites all over the city and eventually were persuaded to take on this challenge. Grosso's project involved 7 episodes or sites stretched out over several miles, which are visible as you approach the city or leave the city, but only on a train. Each site is not just a mural, but a 3-dimensional installation, with the painting encompassing the building and the surrounding landscape. The paints were specially chosen so as not to harm the vegetation or the water system, The project is being maintained for 6 months, and then after that, it will be left to decay. Psyche Lustra was accompanied by robust programming and a good deal of media. In fact, if you ride the train, you will find in the pocket of your seat an explanation of the project. It raises questions about Philadelphia's past and future, about the value of art and the value of industry, and our own awareness of the transformations in the economy and the transformations in the landscapes that surround us. We're especially proud of this project because it's a vision that neither we alone, nor the artist alone, nor the city could have imagined. It was a remarkable creative inspiration that has launched a critical dialogue about Philadelphia's future. I'm going to stop there. There's a lot more I could talk about, and I brought linked to a couple of videos we could watch, but I'll stop there for now, and we'll continue on.
Vale, muchas gracias, Todd.
Thank you. Thank you very much.